This poem's called A Mother's Love. There's no love like a mother's. Her heart is filled with care. With Christ as her example, her Savior's love she'll share. A mother's love is endless, not changing for all time. When needed by her children, a mother's love will shine. God bless these special mothers. God bless them, everyone, for all their tears and heartaches and special work they've done. When days on earth are over, a mother's love lives on. Through many generations, God's blessings on each one. Be thankful for our mothers, who love with higher love, from power God has given and strength from up above. So happy Mother's Day. We had hoped this year to give every mother a flower. So virtually, you've been given a flower and a hug. This is one of the strangest Mother's Days for decades. But no matter the world's problems, we have a God who is faithful and true. And it's a God that is not socially distant. But he's here in our midst with each one of us, no matter where we're sitting and no matter what device we're looking at. Now each of us have our own memories about our mothers. And I'm sure we have fond memories. And we also have those that we'd rather forget. Every mother has her own personality and how she raises her children. Now, sure, there are mistakes, but there are also times of joy. There are times of sorrow. There are times of learning a skill or a teaching moment from our mothers. And I know that, I've been here 9 years now, and from hearing from many of you, I know that due to Ireland's religious history, not all mothers were followers of Jesus Christ, though they may have been very devout in their faith, and they desired that in their children. And some of you, you're the first mother in your family to be a true disciple of Christ, though that might have happened after you were married and after you've had children. Nevertheless, you have Christ as your example from that day forward. And what I want to look at today is some of the characteristics of a godly mother. And these are parts of God's character. And when Christ is our example to follow, then we have the best teacher to learn from and to pass on to our children and grandchildren. Now, last year we looked at the characteristics of Hannah, Samuel's mother, if you remember that. If not, then that's what we did. And this year I thought we'd look at the characteristics exhibited by Mary, the mother of Jesus. And she is also the mother of James and Jude and Joseph and Simon and several sisters that aren't named. So we'll look at a few portions of Scripture from Luke chapters 1 and 2. And we'll start with the main reading. The main reading will be Luke 1, verses 26 to 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren, for nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. One of the ways to be humble is being humble in status. Some are born into wealthy families. famous families, political families, sports families, and so on. Then there's the rest of us. My dad came from a poor family. My mom's dad was an evangelist, missionary, and pastor, which meant there wasn't a whole lot of money there. They never owned a home until late in life. They always lived in houses owned by the churches that they served. And my mom's mother, she was raised on a farm, and my dad's mother was raised the same way, all humble in status. And that's where Mary started, in a humble setting, a small town in Galilee called Nazareth. Nazareth was never a big town. Now, we know nothing of Mary's family, just know that she was from Nazareth. She came from a humble setting, and she was a virgin, probably in her younger teens, 14 to 16 years old, which is also since she was going to become pregnant. She's not at this moment, but the angel's telling her that's going to, she's going to have a negative, the society's going to look at her in a negative way because of this. But Gabriel, when he visited her, he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." Now, this shows us the example of servant leadership that God wants from each of us. The servants, the humble in spirit, will be exalted. Jesus will say later on in his Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God." Now, was Mary perfect? No. She was born with the sin nature within her, just as every person in history has been born with the sin nature, with Jesus being the only exception since he was born through the Holy Spirit. Now, God had prepared Mary for her special purpose, being the mother to Jesus. She was given the right personality to take on such an amazing task. Now, any other woman might say, "No, I'm sorry, I don't want the position." Or, others, maybe a more arrogant, say, "Well, yeah, sure, I could handle that," not knowing what they're going to get into. But either rejecting the situation or being arrogant about it, no, that's not the way. That's not the way Mary went. With Mary, her first thoughts were troubled thoughts. Now, we don't know initially what her thoughts were. We read a little later what she said to the angel, but possibly in her mind she's thinking, "Why me? Why are you appearing to me? Why am I favored over anybody else?" But Gabriel told her, "Don't be afraid." Now, whenever this is said in the Bible, normally it's because the Lord is with them, is going to be with them. He's going to give them courage and strength. And the Lord will give them the courage needed to face the task that he's called them to do. Now, Mary had this unimaginable task of being the earthly mother to the Messiah. To reassure her this is a special time and she had been called to a special task, she's told that her cousin, a much older cousin, probably her mother's cousin or even her grandmother's cousin, Elizabeth, is 6 months with child. A woman who is barren was going to give birth to the one who'll prepare the heart of the people for the coming Messiah. And there's that added emphasis there that says that nothing will be impossible with God. A barren woman and a virgin are going to both give birth to special boys. One is going to be the last prophet of God, preparing the way of the Lord, and the other is going to be the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus. Now, what would your response be to such a huge task? I know there's a lot of mothers sitting here this morning. I mean, the arrogant response is, "Yeah, sure, I could do this, bring it on." Or the scared response is, "I'm sorry, Lord, this is way too much. Even with your help, I'm not sure I could do this." But then there's the humble response that says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And that's her humility. "Here am I, Lord, send me. Use me in all of my inadequacies and fears. Please use me according to your word. I am your humble servant." And Mary used the word doulos, which means a bond servant, a slave. A bondservant is someone who owes the master a debt that they can never repay and is willing to work for that master. And the relationship is that the master will provide everything that the servant needs. And this is the same word even used by the Apostle Paul in many of his letters to the churches, stating that he was a doulos to the Lord, a bondservant of Jesus Christ. So that's what Mary said that she was, your bondservant, your slave, your humble servant. Now, another characteristic is a godly mother knows her need. Now, that's not actually a characteristic, it's a fact. Paul tells us in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And as I've mentioned before, all means all, and that's all means. So for all the all have sinned, and that includes all of us, and that included Mary. And for all the wrong reasons, Mary's been venerated for centuries as nearly divine, but that was just a traditional teaching added in much later, and it's not scriptural. In fact, Mary tells us she was in need of a Savior. She tells us that she is part of that, for all have sinned, when she gave her song of praise. She begins her song by praising God. We're looking now at verses 49 to, 46 to 50. She tells us that she's part of that, for all have sinned. She says, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Her happiness stems from the knowledge that God has saved her soul, and she will spend eternity with him. She acknowledged again that she is a humble servant, willing to do what the Lord asked her to do. Why? Well, because it's not all about her. Yes, of course, she holds a special place in history for being the mother of the Messiah, just as Joseph the carpenter was remembered as his father. But the main thrust of her phrase, of her praise in this song, is that God gets all the glory. He's done the mighty things for her and through her. He's the Holy One of Israel. The ultimate reason is that through Jesus, the salvation will be for all generations. God's mercy will be given for all who fear him, all who call upon the name of the Lord and are saved from generation to generation. It is he who is mighty, and only he can save. Mary recognized her humble place and that her own son will be her salvation, not just for her and for the Jews, but for every man who fears the Lord. Now, the next is characteristic is a godly mother praises the Lord. You know, the rest of Mary's song is all about why she is praising the Lord. She is praising all the things he has done. This is also another example of someone who's humble in spirit. Now, let me read the rest of the song. I'll read verses 51 to 55. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. Nothing in these verses exalts Mary or Elizabeth or John the Baptist or anyone else, but it's all out praise for the Lord God Almighty, praising him for his plan of salvation through Jesus Christ. You know, I have fond memories of hearing my mother and my grandmother singing and praising God, and I wish I could hear them again. And thinking back, it is now an encouragement to me. I know that life here has been different, and you may or may not have those same types of memories, but you are instilling, those memories on your own children. They see you worshiping God. They know you are praising God and that this is important to your faith. You are encouraging them and their faith, hopefully. You're being a godly example to your children and to your grandchildren, and even to the other children in the church. Those memories will return to them in future years, and we hope and pray that they will be memories for them that are strengthening their faith in hoping that they will be serving and praising the Lord as well. Now, the next one is a godly mother is faithful. Well, when I was in school, I was very active. I was involved with things nearly every day at school, besides normal school. I played piano for the choir. I played drums in the school band. I ran cross country in the autumn. That's like 5K runs nearly every day. Played basketball in the winter. Played golf in the spring. Then there was all the church activities. The churches I grew up in were small. We had a youth group, we had a church choir, we had sports and other things. And all in all, I was just always active and on the go. And Mom made sure that I was at all the church functions, and Dad did all the school runs because Dad liked all the sports. He's a sports nut like I am. But one thing that Mom was always faithful to do was to teach me and my brother Michael Bible stories, and then to make sure we were at church for the various things. And my grandmother, she was always faithful in teaching Sunday school and in the holiday Bible clubs. And this is a characteristic of Mary. She and Joseph made sure that they were doing everything that was needed to be done according to the law of Moses. If you look in chapter 2, this is after Jesus is born, in verses 22 to 24, you see that they brought Jesus to the temple and offered a sacrifice according to the law. I'm not going to read all these verses, but I'm referring to them, and you can kind of read through and follow along. And Luke, he quotes Exodus 13, which says, "The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both man and of beast, is mine." So starting at infancy, following the law, Mary was training the child Jesus to know and obey the commandments, which is kind of humorous because he's the one that wrote them. But Mary, she was given a prophecy. She was forewarning. Simeon was forewarning her of what was to come in verses 33 to 35. It's a prophecy of the child as he grows and takes the mantle of being the Messiah. He's appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel. Many will reject him and fall away, but many others will follow him and believe in him, and they will be saved. And it says that the thoughts of each person will be revealed. That's whether they love him or despise him. And this is what the faithful mother must know during her lifetime of raising this child and training him to be ready when it was his time. Now, do we know anything of those silent years between when Jesus was 12 to 30? No, we don't. But we do know that Mary and Joseph were faithful to God's word and following his commandments. And that included raising up their child and the rest of their children to be followers of God. And verses 39 and 40 verify that. And it says in verses 39 and 40, "And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon them." Jesus grew physically strong, mentally strong, and spiritually strong. God the Father was with him every moment. So being a godly mother, a godly grandmother, is so important. You can't make your children and grandchildren to be Christians. We wished we could. But you can't decide that for them. And they must do that on their own. But you being faithful to the Lord will make it much easier for them, because then they're without excuse. They have seen your life and how you praise and worship and honor the Lord, and they see that that's the way to go. And Paul, he wrote in 2 Timothy 1, he's writing to Timothy, and he says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your mother, in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." This was a reminder to Timothy of the faithfulness of his mother and his grandmother. They were the first generation of Christians, and they were godly women living by example so that he would see their faith and learn from them. And that's the same example for you to set for your children and grandchildren. And I know many of your stories. And I just want to encourage you to keep on being faithful to the Lord. And then the last characteristic is that a godly mother remembers. Now, mothers always seem to remember every little detail. Things that make us cringe when they bring these up. When, you know, mothers remember all the things that happen in our lives that embarrass us when with our friends or, you know, our boyfriend, girlfriend, or spouses. These are things that we wish that they would forget. You know, for some reason, they like to treasure these things up in their minds to torment us later as we grow older. Well, after a Passover trip to Jerusalem and on their way to Nazareth, and I'm just looking here at these verses in chapter 2, verses 46 to 52. It's quite a journey after a day's walk. After the Passover, they're heading home to Nazareth, and it's quite a journey. And they realize that Jesus wasn't with them. Now, you know, for a while, they probably just thought that Jesus and James and their other sons were just playing with the other boys because they would be they'd be traveling together with other families. And, you know, boys will be boys. They just figured they were out playing and not with the main crowd. But after a day, they realized that Jesus wasn't with them. And so they spent a day going back to Jerusalem. And they spent 2 days looking for Jesus within Jerusalem. And they finally go to the temple. And there he was. He's sitting, listening to teachers, questioning them, giving his own answers to questions. And all were amazed at his answers. Now, Mary, she's being a good Jewish mother, and to me, at least the way I read it, she was giving him a bit of a guilt complex here, telling him, we've looked all over for you. We spent 3 days looking for you. Why have you treated us this way? They were distressed. But Jesus said, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my Father's house? And it was just his way of saying, you should have just come here and looked for me. I would be right here. Now, Jesus, he went back to Nazareth with them, and he was submissive to their authority as parents. That's what the scriptures say there. And all these things Mary treasured up in her heart, every word, every detail. Whether she understood what was happening or not, she remembered. And she continued to raise her son, knowing that this son, Jesus, would be the Savior of the world. But at what price would he be? Would the prophecy from Simeon mean Jesus might need to die? All these things she treasured. She treasured every moment she had with Jesus. She did the work that she was set aside by God to do, raising the Messiah in a world of sin, teaching him the ways of the Lord, making sure that he understood the laws of Moses. I know this really sounds odd, but that was the task set before her. And she apparently did a good job, because in verse 52, it says that Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And she was faithful to the end, faithful to the cross when the Savior of the world, her son, hung on the cross, and he told John to care for his mother. So my encouragement to you as mothers on this Mother's Day, this Mother's Day 2020, where we're socially distant, is to be faithful. Continue to be godly mothers, praising God with a servant's heart, and be encouraged and be faithful. And I would just like to end with another poem. For you, Mom, on Mother's Day, I want to tell you, Mom, that you're special to the Lord. And you are valued in his eyes, for no one loves you more. And Mom, I want you to know how blessed you really are, for I know that it was never easy. Those past years were quite hard. But even through the years gone by, I believe that God was there, reaching out with loving arms, though we were unaware. And he is still beside you, longing to be a part of all the things that interest you, for you're special in his heart. For even in the daily struggles that seems to be part of life, the Lord longs to be involved and fill the void inside. So, Mom, on this Mother's Day, I just want you to know that you are always appreciated and that Jesus loves you so. Father, we thank you for this morning and just the time to be together. Thank you for all the moms represented here today and all the moms that we remember. And we just thank you for their love and their guidance. And just pray that you would be with us, that just that we would continue to be faithful and true to you. In your son's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Matt.
No, you're very welcome. Thank you.